This is the Social Media Week Glasgow podcast.
Hi, my name is Fiona McAllister of Burness Listers.
I'm David Calder, freelance journalist, and welcome to the Social Media Week Glasgow podcast. Welcome to this, the first Burness podcast. The subject today is super injunctions, and to help guide us through this particular maze is Fiona McAllister from the Burness Media Law team. Fiona, can I just start off with asking you just what on earth is a super injunction, and please explain it in layman's terms?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's obviously been extensive coverage in the press recently about super injunctions, or gagging orders as they're sometimes known. Super injunctions basically an interim injunction which stops a person from publishing or informing anybody of information which concerns them and it's said to be confidential or private, and also publishing or telling others again of the existence of the order itself. And that's the sort of super element to the order.
Can I interrupt you there? Because that is one of the really bizarre things that all of us in the media feel about this super injunction, that we can't even talk about the fact it exists at all.
Yeah, that's right. A super injunction can be compared against an anonymised injunction, which is an injunction which stops somebody from publishing information which concerns the applicant, which is said to be confidential or private, and the names of the parties are not stated.
Does it matter the kind of individual who's actually looking for one of these things? Because a lot of names have come out into the public, haven't they? We've had Andrew Marr, we've had Ryan Giggs, we've had Fred the Shred, Sir Fred Goodwin.
Yeah, that's right. The first super injunction was granted in October 2009. That was reported by the Guardian in relation to the oil company Trafigura and their alleged waste dumping in the Ivory Coast. And like you say, there's been Andrew Marr, there was Christopher Hitchison, who's the father-in-law of Gordon Ramsay, there was John Terry, there was a Stig, Fred Goodwin, Giggs obviously most recently and controversially.
The interesting thing is none of these really ultimately worked, did they?
No, that's right. It's funny that they try and get an order to stop publication or informing other people, but what they actually do is attract attention more than anything.
And that's really what happened with Fred Goodwin, wasn't it? Everyone was really speculating about why he'd taken this out. It really had to be something massively important, and then an affair?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there was far more attention brought to Fred for having the order itself, and I think people thought with all the scandal of the bank that it must have something to do with, must be something deeper, there must be something more to it when he was seeking to hide the affair, and so of course the existence of the order itself created far more buzz and attention about that than anything that was actually in the order.
And of course with many of these orders, the information has actually come out through MPs and Lords using parliamentary privilege,
yes,
in order to actually state what a lot of the public already knew.
Yeah, that's right. The problem is that the parliamentary privilege exists, and where the press are prevented from publicising any of the existence of the order or the content of the order, the parliamentary privilege exists to allow them to disclose that. So that certainly gets one way of getting it into the public domain.
Can I inject a thought of my own at this particular point? Because certainly when some of these people were named by MPs or people in the House of Lords, certainly within the media, they were almost tap dancing on the desk, because that meant that super injunction was effectively lifted. As far as we were concerned, we could actually refer to what was said in Parliament, and that really does, I suppose, undermine the impact that these things can have. That, I think, led to some friction between Parliament and the courts, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
You actually had a situation, didn't you, where the judges were actually threatening MPs, which was actually quite a serious thing, and that is what led to Lord Neuberger actually creating some kind of... Well, he actually led a legal committee to actually establish ground rules.
Yeah, I mean, following all the uncertainty of the enforceability of the super injunctions, Lord Neuberger, he's obviously the most senior judge in England and Wales, set up the committee which published guidelines just earlier this year in May, and they've produced draft practice guidance as to the procedure that's to be followed for all interim orders which affect everybody's rights to freedom of expression. So the committee's already made several recommendations, some of which are the newspapers and broadcasters are supposed to be warned of the existence of all the relevant High Court gagging orders obtained by celebrities and public figures. And it's only in true exceptional circumstances that it'll be justifiable not to give the media advance notice of this. Also that the majority of the hearings should be in public, and individuals who name that are protected by super injunctions could be subject to compensations orders. I mean, obviously only time will tell whether these recommendations are put into practice or legislative actions taken, but it remains to be seen. Mm-hmm.
So far, super injunctions have only been granted by courts in England.
That's right.
We are sitting in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
So what actually is the impact? Are they actually enforceable here? Because we are a separate jurisdiction, as foreign as the United States or France or Germany.
Yeah, actually, the enforceability of super injunctions in Scotland is a really legal grey area at the moment, because you're right, the concept of the super injunction does just exist solely in England and Wales, and obviously as a result of the different legal systems up here, it's arguable that super injunctions are not enforceable north of the border at all. And I think it was the Ryan Giggs expose that really brought this into the spotlight, because he was obviously granted the super injunction in England, and then the Sunday Herald ignored the fact that the super injunction was granted, and they published a photo of him, and it was related to the existence of the super injunction. The photo of Giggs had a mask with the word censored over his eyes, and that was the Sunday Herald's way of making a mockery of the situation, that Giggs's name was all over social media sites such as Twitter, and everyone knew it was him, and yet traditional media outlets were unable to publish his name because of the existence of the super injunction.
Yeah, can I just pick you up on that? Because social media was really, if you like, the tsunami which really washed over the English legal system. It really didn't have a chance once people all over the world started tweeting, started using Facebook to explain who was involved.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously the wide availability of information in social networking sites such as Twitter has resulted in suggestions that the ban on publication of super injunctions should be lifted. The application by the News Group newspapers to discharge that in Ryan Giggs's situation was rejected, but on the day of the expose of Ryan Giggs, the Sunday Herald had said they'd identified the footballer whose name had been linked to the super injunction by thousands of postings on Twitter. But why? Because it was unsustainable that law can be used to prevent newspapers from publishing information that readers can access on the internet at a click of a mouse.
I mean, what has happened now, I think, is that the English courts, as a result of that, and indeed as a result of the new guidance, are likely to be less willing to go the whole hog and give a super injunction. They might give an injunction, but a super injunction might be less likely.
Yes.
Tell me what you can about the way the courts in England actually set about trying to enforce these, because it's not something I think that a lot of people necessarily understand. Did they try to get in touch with the owners of Twitter, for example, to try and stop the flood of information?
Yeah, I mean, a search was ordered against Twitter to try and find out who named Giggs, for example, and it was threatened that the Twitter users who breached the super injunction could face legal action for contempt of court, but the problem was there was about 75,000 different people who named Ryan Giggs, so how enforceable can it be that they can all be held liable for contempt of court?
And presumably some of these were not even necessarily domiciled in the UK.
Well, that's right. You don't know where they're based. That's part of the problem as well. I mean, Twitter had said that they'll disclose information if they're ordered to do so in the law of California, which is where they're based. But they're also going to obviously warn the users for their request for information. But Twitter admitted that they don't check the information users give them when they're registering up to an account, so many can operate under false names or use false details, and that makes them far harder to trace, or maybe impossible to trace. But obviously if there's no repercussions, then there's no deterrent to stop Twitter users breaching super injunctions and tweeting whatever they like.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of my own use of Twitter, for example, where I actually have four different accounts and only one actually uses my own name. Uh-huh. So that would presumably make it very difficult for Twitter to identify necessarily who was actually making that particular tweet.
That's right. And without any legislative provisions, and it's virgin and impossible to gag social media. Even our Prime Minister's come out and said that the situation where newspapers can't print something that clearly everybody else is talking about through social media is unsustainable. It's obviously not fair if the newspapers can't report something that is already out there in social media. So the law obviously has some catching up to do.
So is there now a need for some sort of international, if you like, clarification of the international rules, because what applies in one country may be different to another? In the same way as there are differences in the law of copyright, there are differences in all sorts of different aspects of the law in different jurisdictions. So presumably we need to have some sort of international discussion about how social media, if not be controlled, at least be understood by the lawyers around the world.
Yeah, something's definitely needed. Obviously they're taking steps just now through the Lord Nuremberg committee that's been set up to try and take some action in the UK, and obviously there's separate action which we can take up here, but there is a need because of the way that the internet works and social media works. You need to have that at an international level as well.
But of course is an English judge. His committee's rulings don't actually have any impact in Scotland. Is there a Scottish, or are there any plans for a Scottish committee which would actually take a look here? Would the Scottish Law Commission, for example, look at something like that?
They might do. There's not plans at the moment for anything to be taken in Scotland. In Scotland, the equivalent of an English injunction is called an interdict, and that's an order which seeks to prevent unlawful injury or damage to claimants' rights before the harm's done. That's sought when a wrong has actually been committed, or when there are grounds for reasonable apprehension that a wrong's about to be committed or intended. And obviously if the other party fails to comply with the terms of the interdict, they might be liable to criminal penalties, including imprisonment.
But so far it hasn't been used in this context in Scotland?
No, so far nothing's happened.
So it looks as though we're going to have a degree of confusion for some time to come. I think we'll keep in touch with you, Fiona, just to see what happens in future. But for the time being, Fiona McAllister of Burness Media Law Team, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Social Media Week Glasgow Podcast.